Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mics are hot. Thanks for hanging out. Big Show out here at 105.7 FM, The Fan, on 105.7 FM, The Fan, at the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Brand new experience center. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, is here. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. We're hanging out. Mike McGivern's here as well. It's a who's who at that point. Also, our main boss, Chuck Sullivan, is here.
More importantly, John McGivern is here. I mean, of the two McGiverns, that's the one everybody really wants to talk to. It's really about John more than it is about Mike.
I don't know, man. He's big time.
John's got a bobblehead. Mike doesn't have a bobblehead.
I can tell you this about my brother John.
Oh, boy.
I'm, without a doubt, the much more handsome, good-looking, and successful McGivern brother.
No doubt about it.
Right? I can tell you that. That's big time Mike McGivern. Just telling you that, dropping some knowledge. 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen inbox.
Never frozen.
You can also tweet at us at 1057FM. The Fan, how can the league that controls helmet safety not be concerned about the field conditions they allowed those two teams to play on last night? I'm going to bypass Gary right away because, Gary, I understand you're going to have a lot to say about this because of your experience in the NFL and your experience grinding through the opportunity. So I'll start with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer as the fan perspective here on the show. And, Stevie, watching that game last night, I don't know if it was uncomfortable for fans per se, but you knew something was not right on either sideline, and it begs the question of how the NFL is allowing that to go down last night.
It's stupid. They should have played on it. I don't understand this. It's in one end zone. Now, prior to the game starting, they said on Twitter that they were gluing these patches down over wherever these holes were, and it was going to take 30 minutes for these things to dry, and then they were going to be all set.
Sure.
So, I mean, unless there was a ridge in the grass of about, 2 inches or something, where these players are going to, like, trip running over this patch, do tell me where exactly the issue was. Like, where was the concern? How was there no concern on the north end zone, where they had to take out goalposts too, but there were concerns on the south end zone in this tiny little area? It's not like half the field was trash.
Sure.
Or 10 yards of the field was trash. It wasn't even like the end zone was trash. You're talking about tiny, small little spots in the end zone that were a concern at this point. I wasn't there, obviously, so I don't know how big of a difference there was. But you said earlier, well, Gruden's a mouthpiece for the NFL, so you can't really go with what Gruden's saying.
100%.
But I don't know, man. It seemed pretty bogus to me.
John Gruden is going to do whatever he has to do to make John Gruden look good. In a public light, and in a light with his boss. His boss right now is not Mike Mayock. It's, frankly, not even Mark Davis. He's not getting fired. His boss is Roger Goodell, and his boss is the NFL, to make him and that company a bunch of money. And last night, you saw John Gruden bypass the idea that it was an issue with the field. And I understand, Sparky, from this logistical standpoint of it was one spot in the back of the end zone. But even if it's a quarter of an inch raised, and these guys are coming 12, 13 miles an hour, running through the back of the end zone, tracking with Tim Boyle, and he's rolling out to the right, trying to see exactly if I'm cutting into the back of the end zone. And I go down, I roll my ankle. If that's where EQ breaks sprains his ankle, I mean, you just got a huge issue. One, if you're the league in the insurance aspect of it, because you're at that point liable. You allowed them to go out on the field. But also my theory on this, and like I said, I wasn't there, but this was IG Field saying, yeah, we got it all taken care of. Oh, the goalposts, yeah, those are going to be out. We'll make sure those are out. Those should have been taken care of earlier in the week, not glued down 25 minutes before these two teams were coming out to warm up. Like, if you knew that this was going to be an issue, and they had to have known this was going to be an
issue.
My
question is this.
How is it not tackled well in advance of this?
When did they pull the goalposts out? Did they pull the goalposts out that day?
It couldn't have been more than a couple of days ago.
Because this is what I think happened. Maybe I'm wrong. When they go to inspect this field with the Packer guy, and you would assume the Raider guy, and whatever everybody is there for the NFL, right? Those goalposts are where they are for a CFL game. And they're looking at it going, yeah, field looks fine, walk it, everything's good. But the goalposts hadn't been pulled out yet. And everybody's like, well, we'll pull them out, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. Sounds good. Go back, tell Mark Murphy, hey, we're good. Field's walked it, no problems with the field, there's no hills or anything crazy in it, we're good. Sounds good, sign off. Raiders are in, Packers are in. And now they pull those dumb things out. But for me, I still don't understand. How is it okay on the north end zone, and yet on the south end zone, you didn't duplicate what you did on the north end zone, that there's that big of a discrepancy that you can't have football players running over it? Like, I don't understand. Have you ever been in a situation, Gary, at the college level, pro level, high school level, where there's been a field unplayable because of a lip in the grass or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, the Lions, when I played in Silverdome, because we used to have to roll it and unroll
it. That was on cement.
Yeah, with the roll it and unroll it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Pistons played on half of them. We had the back half. Well, Steve, they used to be like little bumps. Little bumps.
Ridges.
Because it was never the same. You kept pulling it. They didn't pull it tight. Yeah, I mean, that exists back then.
But you played.
Yeah, we played anyway. They didn't care back then. I mean, you got these guys making so much money, they're not doing. And you got the unions much stronger than it's ever been. You got
no
a lot
doubt
of guys speaking
is.
Up.
And that's the thing. I mean, you played then. This is a stupid exhibition game. Your starters aren't playing anyhow.
Yeah, right.
Just, man, it's a little area. It's not all over the field where you got crests and everything.
Even if
else.
It's a little area, you can't do it. You never know. If a guy hits his foot in that little area and it gets stuck or something happens, you got a lawsuit that like never before. And it could happen.
And it could happen. It could happen with the top of your foot and you could trip. It could happen in the middle of your foot. When those ridges are uneven, man, speaking from experience, you step in there full speed, those bones in the outer half of your
foot. And I think I told Steve
can
the story
snap right
about
away.
We played down in up in Minnesota when they had the dome and the Twins played in there, the pitcher's mound. They brought in a huge rectangular thing to cover the pitcher's mound,
right?
But it had like ridges, you know, all the way around it, right? So Jesse Clark is running, falls down.
The body?
Elbow. Yeah, the body, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Falls down and hit one of his elbow hit in between the ridges, which was all metal, but it was covered up with the actual turf. But it was underneath it was steel. His elbow fell into the ridge mark, just the corner of it. To the bone. Blood skiing out everywhere.
Oh.
To the bone. So, I mean, you just never know where it's at and when it can happen. You just has to err on the side of caution.
I was listening to the flagship last night before the game, and there was a good point being brought up because Tausch was on the players' board. He was the player rep for the Packers for a long time, and he spoke to the fact of you're thinking right now, there's got to be one rep in there that's campaigning to the players. You talked about when James Lofton came down, when you guys had a discrepancy with the head coach,
your
right?
Analysis, yes.
And it's, guys, we're going to take care of this. In that situation last night, Gary, I don't know if it's a player rep that stands up because I've never been in that locker room in that situation, but it appeared to me that this was brought to the attention to the Green Bay Packers far too late, and it's sad that the NFL – didn't think this was going to be an issue earlier.
Well, right, and that's where, too, that you talk about player rep. That's where your player rep come in. If he's got the cojones, he goes in and tell the fellas, we're not playing.
Sitting down.
We're not playing. I don't know who the rep is, but he has the authority to do that. And then the Players Association, you have to make a phone call to somebody, and then they back him up on that. And then you got to get with the Raiders player rep, and they have to meet, we're not playing. Both teams then have to agree to we're not playing on the surface.
So you watched the game and
that
you did the Uptown and you did the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show last night. Did you see the playing surface unplayable?
I don't know, see, because they had said that turf was, did I hear something, it was 2008? I thought I heard.
See, now, I had heard the building was built in 2008, but I didn't think it was the original turf.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, I don't know.
Sure.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, how if you worn
got,
out it is.
If you got turf for a 10
you
years
You allowed
old.
Him to play from the 10 to the 10, for God's sakes. You didn't say, well, turf's too old, we're going home. You still sent him out there to play. You were
you
arguing over a
sure.
stupid little
but
passion
you
insult.
But you should have said that, too. That wow. should have been a part
that,
of
that's
it.
That's different. If,
right.
If that, they go, it's too warm, we're not playing,
that
okay.
should have been part.
Then you got on your plane, you go home.
Right.
But to say I'm not playing over
that
a couple patch holes in the
right.
end zone.
That
but,
should have been part of the,
but
the
doesn't
discussion
this,
as well.
Doesn't this all come back to the NFL before they allow this
yes.
to go down? Say, you guys want to have an NFL game. I understand that.
Right.
You're going to redo the surface.
Right. Yeah. And that's how that should have went down. And it didn't happen that way. So instead they cut a hole in the carpet and they couldn't fix it.
It was really laughable to me to
it
see.
It really was.
And Brian Gutekunst, I raised my hand in applause for the Green Bay Packers for at least having, as you said, the cojones, for Brian Gutekunst to walk out there and say, I'm not putting my dudes at risk.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
And Matt LaFleur backing his dudes up and saying, I'm not putting my guys out there, especially in the sense that I'm not allowing somebody's opportunity to make their dreams come true of being in the NFL, being on an NFL roster for the regular season, because you're trying to make a play in the end zone.
Right.
Did any of the injuries last night occurred during the game, were they because of the turf they were playing on?
We don't know.
That if they were at Lambeau, those same injuries wouldn't have occurred.
And we don't know that. So you're asking me, if was the turf bad that they played on
that
wasn't
in the
end zone?
And that resulted in whatever.
That we don't know.
414-799-1250.
But they did have an absorbent amount of injuries last night.
They did. There were a lot of guys that go down. We know Equinemius St. Brown has a high ankle
but
sprain.
But no one's talked about that turf that way.
You expect to hear Matt LaFleur talk about it when he talks later on today?
I would think that he will. Someone's going to ask him a question about that.
Does Brian Gutekunst come out and explain it? Because we've seen Brian Gutekunst.
Brian normally steps up.
We've seen Brian Gutekunst step up a lot more in the public eye for that sense that we have of Ted Thompson at all.
I think the NFL has to say something about this. That's who
yeah.
needs to talk.
Yeah.
The NFL is the
well,
one that
right.
needs to address
yes.
how this occurred.
Yes.
And
no
I have
so
the NFL.
Roger Goodell and his people.
And the NFL released a statement. I have that for you next.
Perfect.
Immediately as the game started, and it wasn't necessarily painting the Green Bay Packers in as good of a light, especially you saw how John Gruden
backed
tried
off.
To paint the Green Bay Packers. We'll have that audio for you as well. It's the Wendy's Big Show live out here at the new Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Or you got a smart speaker at home, maybe an Alexa, a Google Home is what you say. Hey, Alexa, play 105.7 FM The Fan on the radio.com app. And boom, you got Sparky Gary and myself, Baby Tausch, talking Packers from 2 to 6 here on 105.7 FM The Fan. More next here, 105.7 FM The Fan. It's Big Show out here at the new Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin Experience Center. I'm Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt, Steve Sparky
right?
Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, for Badger and Packer running back. I'm good.
You okay?
I'm hanging in.
You
all
missed
right.
it, Gary.
You missed it, Gary.
At the break, you got his picture with Wayne Larrabee.
I got
He's
my picture.
All excited.
Giddy.
You going to put it on Instagram somewhere?
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I might actually frame it. We'll see what happens. We'll depend
okay.
on it. It might go on my desk once I get one. 414-799-1250, live at 105.7 FM.
Oh,
Wendy's Fresh one. Never Frozen inbox 414-799-1250. How you get a hold of us out here at the new Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin Experience Center. And the Packer game last night, 22-21, played on a surface that deemed necessary for an 80-yard field, and they cut out the end zones for the game. They shortened the field up. Within the 10s is where the play was resumed. And the turf looked a little different. It definitely looked worn on television, but also the cameras looked strange because the Packers, all their jerseys and field wear all looked like lime green. So
yeah.
I don't know exactly how much of that I was able to pick up from the television broadcast last night. But how can a league that controls and deems it so vital and believes and is pushing the narrative that they do believe in helmet safety. They are worried about helmet safety. They are finally putting player safety at the top of their priority list and not take into consideration the field conditions last night. 414-799-1250. Or if you're like Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and you believe the game should have been played, tell us why at 414-799-1250. Because Sparky, you felt like it was necessary. They should have went out there and played full go.
I have a hard time believing that those little holes that were covered up what's going to create some type of injury for football players. Unless you're telling me there's a big lip that's a big lip that's not going to move, that's solid, then you're going to trip going over this in the back of the end zone, or that this patch, your foot was going to go straight in like through a manhole with your foot, and that's going to go down and break your ankle or sprain your ankle. And if it was that bad, okay. But if you walked over it and your foot walked over it and you couldn't tell much of anything, maybe it's a little soft, but otherwise you could walk over it, man, play. Stop. I for me, that's my question. If I had a groundskeeper from that game, would be, how did you get the north end zone right, replacing that goalpost, but you couldn't figure out how to duplicate what you just did over there?
Sure.
Over here. What is the difference?
And so that happens. So they did it wrong.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
They messed it up. Obviously, they messed it up. In one end zone, they screwed it up. Somebody screwed it up. The pole didn't come out like the last one up there. Yeah, had problems with that.
And that's why I say when the NFL went there.
That wasn't as easy as – yeah, so when they went there, they saw the pole. They go, okay, we'll just move. We'll take it out. Right. We'll move it. Blue, done. They did that one in the north end zone. I don't know which one it was, but the one in the north end zone came out great. Perfect.
Fine. All good.
One in the south end zone, we had problems with that one.
And this got brought up in the email box of when were they doing this? Did they do this week?
Well, we don't know when they did it, do we?
That's what we need to find an explanation for. Like, if you're going to look into when this went down
but
and how
clearly
it was this
they
bad.
Showed close-up pictures of that, Steve. It was nasty. It had a hump to it, and it had a cutout seam in it. You're not playing on that. You're not putting guys out there. And, you know, I know you're talking about you never know. You make a cut. You got to make a cut on that. And your foot give out, you're done. You break an ankle, you just can't risk it. I mean, I get what you're saying, but you just cannot risk it.
But doesn't it show something, and maybe this is me being PC or whatever you want to call it, but if you're going to put dudes out there that this is their shot, this is their chance. Tim Boyle last night, he gets the start. This is his chance. Alan Lazard is on the bubble. He's trying to make a team. Name another player, Raven Green. Yeah. You know,
DeSean Kizer got an opportunity.
DeSean Kizer. And guys on the Oakland Raiders as well, this is their opportunity to make a
this
team.
This is it.
And you're going to put them in an uncompromised situation.
Right.
It deems to me a failure on the part of the NFL.
It is.
This should have been taken care of months in advance.
Well, that seems like that's the way the NFL has been operating as of late.
Didn't we learn last year?
They tell you about the safety crap, man. It's crap.
Didn't they learn last year?
It's Bush League. It is. I mean, you figure the amount of money that they have to go investigate and do all this stuff is just crazy. Somebody dropped the ball. It's just nuts.
But the thing that stinks about it to me is I love that they're trying to globalize the game.
Yes.
I like that they're trying to grow the game outside of the United States.
Right.
But now you've messed it up twice within the last calendar year.
You take a bad product to Canada. They got a bad taste in their mouth about it.
They
only sold 20,000 tickets. Yeah, it wasn't like people were clamoring to go see this anyhow.
But how much was the tickets they were selling for there?
Tickets on Subway were like $80-$120 in between that. For a preseason game, we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not spending that.
That's
C-backups.
A lot of dough.
Well, they thought they were going to get the starters because it's week three.
It's week three.
That's why they felt comfortable with it. They're like, well, we'll get a starters for a half at least. And then as everybody's watching preseason and sees nobody's playing,
right?
Screw it, I'm not going.
And then you see in the situation of last year in Mexico City, if you are going to move these games out of the country, the surface needs to be replaced before the year.
Right.
Like, it's that simple. If you want us to come and play at your park, you want us to come to the country, we'll help. We'll make sure that we come out and it's code, that all the codes are up, everything's up to code or whatever you want to call
it.
Everything's ready to go, but you're going to replace this surface before we get in here so we have a new clean surface.
It's crazy.
Is that too much to say?
Right, with all the money that they have or they're making. No, it's not. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy
But again, this wasn't an NFL thing. This was a Raiders thing.
Right.
The Raiders were the one that were in scramble mode trying to find a play one of these home games. And it was suggested to me, why don't they just play the game at Lambeau Field? Who cares? It's an exhibition game. They weren't bringing their starters anyhow. Just played at Lambeau and figured out a dollar amount that the Raiders wanted from the gate and call it even.
That's true.
That's it. Because you only drew 20,000 there anyhow.
That's a good point.
Like they made a bunch of money in Canada.
You just damn near sold out Lambeau
Field. And just go to Oakland. What do you want to have it at Lambeau? Name me the check that I got to write to you, Mr. Davis, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, that's great.
That could have been a thing. How many people from Oakland were in Winnipeg watching that game? How many Raider fans got on a plane – and flew to Canada.
Probably none.
Right. So you had a better chance of Raider fans buying Packer tickets to go to Lambeau.
Yeah, you would have because they want to go to Lambeau Field.
Because it's Lambeau, like it's Fenway or Wrigley.
Right.
Then you did go into Winnipeg to a CFL stadium.
Yes. Yeah, that I would agree with. 414-799-1250, live at 105.7FMTheFan.com. I want to get Gary Ellerson's reaction to the Rashawn Gary situation last night. The first-round pick, number 12 overall pick for the Green Bay Packers, goes down not once, but twice. How is that allowed to happen? 414-799-1250. We'll get that reaction after the break. But first, Sparky, they will play these games on 100-yard fields for real for 17 weeks, 16 games per team. Coming up, starting after Labor Day, and you do not want to miss a second of it. Call Sight and Sound Solutions, right?
Hey, man, again, if you're just a diehard NFL fan, okay, if you're a fantasy football fan, like, I don't know how many, what like, percentage it would be in this country, like, but it's got to be a pretty big percentage.
Or like the host of Fantasy Football Weekly.
Yeah.
Starting up Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Tim Allen, Baby Tausch, 10 a.m. to noon every Sunday, starting this Sunday. So if you have any questions, get ready for that. Tom Kesting, the Godfather of Fantasy, back on the big show again this year.
Woo!
As well. Fridays at 4 o'clock.
Got it.
So looking forward to that. Sight and Sound Solutions, AT&T and DirecTV. TV and internet for as low as $99 a month. You get the choice package with DirecTV. You get Fox Sports Wisconsin. Oh, by the way, you know that other satellite company? They're in a little bit of a dispute, so you can't see your baseball team right now.
Yep.
You can with DirecTV, though, with Fox Sports Wisconsin. NFL Sunday ticket at no additional charge and $200 in Visa cards. Good wherever Visa is accepted. But wait for it. Sight and Sound Solutions can do even more for you right now. Sight and Sound Solutions can offer you a U-verse bundle, the new AT&T fiber internet, AT&T wireless phones. If you want it, they got it. Basically, the entire lineup of AT&T services. As an existing customer, if you feel your package deal could be better, well, they can help you with that too. Wouldn't you rather call a 262 number? Talk to your local guy, Al. That's my guy. Has been doing this for over 15 years. Al has had me all set up with DirecTV, the whole package, for a number of years. There was nobody else I would suggest other than Al. Customer service the best. Sight and Sound Solutions is a preferred retailer for AT&T. Call Sight and Sound today, 262-754-1500. That's 262-754-1500. NFL Sunday ticket on Mega Renew TCM, prevailing rate, unless canceled prior to start of the season. Slight international games exclude, remote access to one game at a time. Day charge may apply. Call for details.
Packers lose last night, 22-21 on an 80-yard field. What? Talking about it all afternoon long. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Give me 1 second. All right. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Appreciate you hanging out. Packers lose last night, 22-21. Things happen, but they shouldn't happen in this sense. If you're going to play an NFL game, the field should be ready to rock and roll, you would expect. It was not ready to go last night, and the NFL put out this statement just as the game was kicking off last night from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, in IG Field. Tonight's game is being played on a reconfigured field. The field met the mandatory practices for the maintenance of surfaces for NFL games based on an inspection yesterday. Concerns arose today surrounding the area where the Blue Bombers' goalposts were previously located. The 10-yard line will function as the goal line for this game. In lieu of kickoffs, the ball will be placed at the 15-yard line. End statement by the NFL. Gary, that was the NFL saying, hey, I don't know. We it passed all our regulations. This is making the Packers look like the bad guy here, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's everybody, you see everybody's trying to pass the buck. And I think the Packers
right.
are okay
that's a good way to put it. Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Packers are passing the buck. Everybody's passing the buck. Nobody wants to look bad. Listen, I think the Packers did right by their players by not playing them. I mean, I don't – who would disagree with that? Regardless of what the statement says,
sure.
I think all Packer fans are saying to themselves, no, I didn't want Aaron Rodgers playing that game.
Well, and I wonder what Packers fans believe – that this shows of Matt LaFleur, because we played the audio of Matt LaFleur. He showed his backbone last night. He put it out there and said, guys, I didn't feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let it happen. You and I played the cut a couple of weeks ago when they make the first roster move.
Right.
And he says, listen, any move that gets made on this roster, I know about it.
Right.
So he's establishing himself more and more every single day. And even though you haven't seen the starters, I know you haven't seen Aaron Rodgers, you haven't seen Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, who else you want to put in that camp. But it appears that this team is starting to really buy into Matt LaFleur from the little bit that we get to hear.
Yeah, and you didn't. And now, listen, you didn't hear it from McCarthy.
No.
This kind of talk.
Never.
Because Mike had to go through Ted first. Mike never knew what was going on. You have a sense of that Matt LaFleur knows everything that's happening, and he gets to make the decisions. I mean, we just never really had that before. I mean, so those are some of the new things. If you're looking to see how this regime is being run under Matt LaFleur, it seems like Matt is in control of everything. Well, not necessarily in control, but he knows what's going down, and he can make decisions without Brian Gutekunst over his head.
The NFL passed their responsibilities off. Aaron Rodgers. Now, here is the part that is testy. So Matt LaFleur comes out and says, it was my call. I didn't want the players to play. Now, Aaron Rodgers talked to his good buddy John Kuhn last night. Field, who's doing a nice job, by the way.
Yeah.
He's definitely settled into that. Getting better.
Yeah.
Getting a little bit looser with that microphone. He had it way up there at the top of the key. You got to chill out. Keep it right there at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Right? You can still see the baseline. Keep it down here.
See, that has
everybody
to be
picks
taught
you up
to
the
him.
Three-point line.
But that's his producer.
Yeah,
you should just
nobody,
be telling him in his ear,
nobody,
dude, lower your microphone.
Yeah,
don't even let him
that.
Look like that.
Yeah, nobody's told him.
When I was at, I started at Fox 6.
Yeah, nobody's told him.
When I started at Fox 6, they always did stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tom Kurtz, who was over at Tom Warner.
Yeah.
Dude, he would always, dude, lower it down.
Right.
You're good. Just lower it down.
Right.
You don't need it that high, Spark.
Right.
You just lower it down.
Yeah.
All right, right there.
Curtsy.
Good. Now, don't do it. Because I'd be, like, interviewing like I was on the radio, like, putting in the coach's mouth, like, right there.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you don't got to do all that stuff. It's TV. It works. Don't worry. You're good.
Yeah. We'll pick it up, man.
Yeah.
But one, John Kuhn is starting to get a little bit of the exclusive. Last night, Aaron Rodgers told John Kuhn that he wasn't going to play even regardless, pretty much.
Aaron, just let us know. How's the back? How's the body kick? Put some relief to Packer Nation here.
About what? Why I'm not playing? It's nothing to do with the back. I can promise you that. It's more the field conditions that we had tonight.
Now, you haven't played in the preseason yet. You're not going to play in game four. Is there anything that you feel like you probably should have touched on at all in an exhibition game before you reach the regular season?
No, we just need a good week of practice coming up. We'll probably be looking ahead next week in practice. We'll get some good opportunities to get some good work in. And then, you know, just get ready for a normal game week after that. You know, it's a short week. We haven't been in this game in a long time, so it's exciting. But we'll be ready for sure.
That's Aaron Rodgers last night.
You know,
night
I'm
going to
say
boy,
this
John Kuhn.
He sounds like Joe Willie Namath. He does.
He's got a little
draw
to his voice now.
Yes, it sounds like Joe Willie Namath. Because, you know, Joe Willie, was he from Alabama, Louisiana, somewhere down
yeah,
there?
Yeah, he played at Alabama.
Yeah, he's got that Joe Willie name with drawl. I mean, he's just kind of like, you know, just too cool, man.
Anthony, can we play the beginning of that one more time?
Yeah,
John Kuhn gets the question out, and then Aaron Rodgers goes, what?
Aaron, just let us know. How's the back? How's the body? Put some relief to Packer Nation here.
About what? Why I'm not playing? It's nothing to do with the back.
Stevie's shaking
about
his head
what?
The whole time. About what?
About
what do you mean?
No, actually, it was about your mustache. Dude. I wasn't even talking about the game.
About what?
I hate that.
Trying to play about what?
About what? Trying to be funny guy.
Yeah.
This dude's trying to learn how to do his job, and you got to
right.
be funny guy.
He's messing with it.
Yeah, that's nice.
About what?
That's good.
About what?
I think every single answer while Aaron was getting interviewed by John Kuhn last night, he deflected and brought up John Kuhn instead. He goes, man, it seems like a really good contingent of Packer fans came on out here. Yeah, man, but John Kuhn's like a real celebrity out here in Winnipeg, right? He's a big celebrity out here in Winnipeg.
Wait a minute. Did he say it really? I
yeah,
must have missed that.
Right at the end. John Kuhn's like, man, it seems like all people are ready to go. Packers season is almost here, ready to go.
No, he goes, I missed that.
Well, John Kuhn's the real celebrity out here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Like, dude, wake up.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, we got the audio back there. It's in the full interview. And it was just like – he was playing with
him. He's messing with him. Yeah, what's up?
He is so dialed in right now.
Yeah.
I feel good about Aaron Rodgers coming out there. I don't know about you guys. I know, Gary, you wanted to see him in the preseason. Sparky, you wanted to see him in the preseason.
He's going to be sloppy across the league in week one. Watch. Missed tackles everywhere, interceptions, it fumbles. It's going to be a sloppy week one. Half the league ain't playing their guys.
Yeah, and the full league shouldn't because we saw what happens when you put a star quarterback out there. In preseason last night, Carolina Panthers Cam Newton walks out in a walking boot.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's going to stop.
It's got to stop at some point.
Because Cam Newton just coming off his shoulder surgery, too, this offseason.
Gary, how did you all play four preseason games
right.
and have live tackling
a
in
month,
training camp?
A month
and
before.
Two-a-days and all that.
Yeah.
How was there ever a football season, Gary? I don't know how it happened.
Well,
that's why I can't
miracles.
Remember. That's why I can't remember stuff half the time right
that's
now.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
But your helmets weren't as good as these.
We're becoming such a smarter league. It's becoming such a better run product.
That's not true.
Just be smarter.
No, that's not true. The difference that's happened now than what's happened back then is they're making a hell of a lot more money. And now they're investments instead of it just being entertainment.
Right.
Now each one of these guys are dollar signs. When Gary
just
played,
smart.
They made all right money, but it wasn't like this.
No.
They didn't have dollar signs on goal.
It's just smart business.
And they weren't losing a lot of money.
Right.
Because the owners were making – all the money.
And they didn't have to share all
they
that money.
To share it.
And now it's out
now
of control.
Now they got to share it.
Right.
So
now you see dollar signs. Hey,
right.
I mean, part of it is safety because they got sued for the concussions.
That's another
that's
one.
That's the only
right.
reason.
That's another
one. That's the only reason that we're in this boat.
That's another one.
They don't get sued. This never comes up, and they're still going
maybe
the
not.
Same way.
Maybe
well,
not.
Well, sure, but isn't that how all things get done in this world? Somebody gets sued and a policy finally changes?
Sure.
That's long overdue?
That's the American way.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It really is.
That's the American
so
way.
We're finally settling into,
right.
I think, a better age of football. I understand you're not going to see the quarterback get blown up like everybody wants. But you know what? That's not how the game is supposed to be played.
Right.
414-799-1250 live at 1057FMTheFan.com. The Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen
never
inbox.
Frozen, yeah.
There's also a quote in there that, so Aaron Rodgers says, man, it's about the field conditions. And then Matt LaFleur maybe goes a little bit on the other side of it when he talks after the game.
No, the guys haven't said anything about the field. It is what it is. It's fair for both teams, and we're making the best of it. But it's really not a non-issue to me.
Well, hold up. Now, play Rodgers. If you got Rodgers, just back that up with that. This is how comical that is.
Right. So Aaron Rodgers talking to John Kuhn last night.
About what? Why I'm not playing? It's nothing to do with the back, I can promise you that. It's more the field conditions that we had tonight.
Just unbelievable.
It had nothing to do with the back last week either, probably. That's what I can promise you on that, too. Come on, man.
Unbelievable.
This whole thing. Well, it had nothing to do with my back. It wasn't nothing to do with your back last week either. You didn't want to play.
Unbelievable.
No, they didn't want him to play.
That's
no,
just straight,
I don't buy
that's
that.
They didn't want him to play.
No,
last week,
so.
They didn't want him to play last week, you're saying?
I think he didn't want to play. I don't know.
I got no insight on that.
I have no insight either.
But
why do you go
hunch.
Out of your way to tell everybody, well, it's not my back, I can tell you that.
Well, smart because he was
guy.
Supposed
he's
to
playing
play.
With everybody. He is just a wait, master wait. Puppeteer back there.
Well, he is, though.
I mean, just toying everybody around.
Well, hopefully
I love watching it.
Hopefully he doesn't break in half like he has the last couple of years.
Well, I
but
think
no,
they,
but Steve, you're
think
right
they've protected
about,
him a lot better this
you're
year.
You're right about the NFL. And, you know, and it seems like the Packers may be even tougher than anybody else. Because it's a new offense. They don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you, man.
Baby Tosh.
These guys.
Baby
these
Tosh
guys.
Said last year the Bears didn't play their guys, and they had a new offense, and they looked fine against the Packers.
No, they did not.
That's what he said.
No, they didn't.
You didn't see them walk up and down the field the first two drives against the Packers
and then
last
what
year?
Happened?
Huh?
Then what happened?
Hit the hot button.
Huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
And then what happened?
And then what happened? They had a kid that was playing quarterback for his first year as a starter.
Yeah, and then what happened?
They didn't have a 15-year veteran.
Yeah, but then what happened?
Two-time MVP.
So you're saying, in this case, this offense will look just no problem.
No.
It'll look good the first two series, and then you rely on the talent. And you rely on you have the better quarterback in the game.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers.
And right, they didn't. Chicago. And so what you saw, I think, with the Nagy, you're talking about Chicago, Green Bay, first game of the year. One, Green Bay defense isn't very good or wasn't very good. So, yeah, but I still say those guys got to get down and understand where everybody is. Rodgers is not Trubisky in that I think Rodgers demands a little bit more. He changes up things more. Trubisky is more there to play, run it.
But you know there's this, Gary. The first 15 plays are all scripted out
they're
anyway.
They're all scripted.
So they're going to know that
but
regardless,
Rodgers' first 15 plays are not scripted.
Yeah,
I mean, there are.
Sure.
But there aren't.
But he's going to want to make
he's
a subtle adjustment.
It.
Yeah, I disagree. I think this
we'll
year
see.
You're going to see that different in that first game, primarily because of the situation
we'll
they're in.
We'll see.
They have to pretty much know it.
We'll see.
414-799-1250. The phone number live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh and Never Frozen inbox for the Wendy's Big Show live out here at the new Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center. Experience the difference with Pella Windows and Doors. Ryan Wood comes up at 448.
Woody.
We'll ask him what his thoughts last night of the field conditions change that they had to make in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Also, Adam McAlvey talks Brewers with us at 535. But there's a football story in the state that may be even bigger than the Green Bay Packers. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer riding shotgun, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. We give him the sidecar because he's just that. He's a former Badger and Packer.
Just put me in the back seat, man. I'm good.
You like riding in the back seat?
Yeah, I will if it's a nice car.
See, I've never been down with that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I love to ride in the back seat. If it's a nice car, I got some leg room, put me in the back seat.
Because you volunteered to go in the back seat while we were in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he goes,
love it.
He gives me this one, Sparky. Big boy. Let's get up in that front seat, man. And I'm looking back. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Yeah,
okay.
Put me in the
I like
seat.
Riding shotgun. I like seeing what's happening.
Oh, man. That's the death seat, cuz.
That's right.
Well, especially when Jeff Orlowski was driving. But you and I know
Steve,
we were
right.
both done.
We all would have died in that one.
Yeah, we were all done in that situation.
And I didn't like the way Jeff was talking, too, that day. Because Jeff was talking like
he was
going
to
kill himself, too. You know what I mean? He was in a bad place when we were out in Arizona, wasn't he?
He said.
Like, oh, my God,
we're just hearing the dinging going off, right, in all the new cars. It's every 2 or 3 seconds. Ding. Seatbelt's not on.
Seatbelt
hey,
on,
hey, buddy, seatbelt's not on.
Yeah.
Driver, please put your seatbelt on. And
right.
repetitive. And all of a sudden, it's like 15 minutes into the drive. Gary goes, hey, J.O., you don't wear your seatbelt, huh? He goes, had kids and a wife like mine, you wouldn't wear one either.
I was like, oh, my God, this
what?
Guy don't care.
What did you just say?
He's going to kill us all, man.
We're done.
He was just talking crazy talk like that.
And then
the whole time.
That's just Jeff, man. Jeff should have worn
one. Oh, no, man.
No,
Jeff's in a bad place,
Jeff's
man.
Jeff's different, man.
Jeff should have lived in, like, the 50s or the 60s.
J.O. was in a bad place.
That
Jeff's
was
like
different,
that guy
man.
From the 50s or 60s where his wife's the ball and chain and this and that and everything.
Oh, my God,
that's Orlowski, man.
He had me messed up.
He don't mean all that crap.
Oh, I don't know, man.
He don't mean all that.
He had me messed up.
I felt like he meant a lot more of it than I felt comfortable
with. Yeah, he's in a bad place, cuz.
He cuts off the 18-wheeler, and I was like, you know what? I know you rented the car, but why don't you let me drive?
I think he's for real.
And why don't you let me drive?
Yep.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Later on tonight, guys, Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Scoreboard Show kicks off another year of coverage here on the Fan. Of all things high school sports, I will be out at a game tonight.
Where you
one
at
of
tonight?
Mike McGivern's 22 reporters tonight.
Where you at?
I'm going out to the McGuanago Waukesha North game. My old
see what he did? See what he did? He didn't know. Tell him about North. Go ahead, tell him.
Apparently they got a big quarterback right now. 6'5", Joker.
Yeah.
See?
Nice wide receiver.
Everybody says that. No, nothing. Yeah. And then he started selling me on him. By the time I got to talking to him about North, that was all I'm done. Like, hey, North might pull an upset tonight.
But McGuanago's
McGuanago's
a different beast McGuanago's, as well.
McGuanago's not what he used to be, though.
Not as good as they used to be? Because when I was going, they were afraid.
Iverson left.
Yeah.
Clay Iverson, yep. He ended up at Carroll University last year for a year.
And did he go to, like, Lake Geneva Badger?
No.
That was the dad that was there for a long time in McQuanago that was the coach. He took over for his dad and then went to Lake Geneva Badger.
No?
At McQuanago, yeah.
The guy that is at – hold on, let me think about how this works.
Yeah,
now.
The dad.
Yeah.
Was head coach at McQuanago.
Yeah.
Then his son.
Right.
And then the son left, went to Lake
Geneva. Mr.
Lake,
Shorts. I can't think of his name. He wears shorts all year. I covered a game because he was at West.
Oh, tough guy, huh?
He was in West Bend.
Sure.
As a head coach there before he took the Badger job. And it's snowing out sideways. I'm out there freezing.
Tough guy, yeah.
Out there freezing, right?
Oh, Hensler.
Hensler, that's what it
Hensler.
Is. Yeah. So I go to after I go, dude, what is the deal with the shorts? He's like, man, it ain't cold out. I'm like, you are out of your mind. Snow is blowing sideways, man. He is like, he's one of the nicest dudes ever. And that student section and that football team, they love Hensler out there. Love him.
That's another old program that used to get it done.
His dad was back with him.
Yeah. Went to Lake Geneva Badger.
Well,
they went. Then they both went to Lake Geneva Badger.
Yeah.
I think that's where they are.
Yep.
But that's one of those old programs used to be really good. That's not good anymore.
Badger's good now.
Well, he's there.
Hensler's there, yeah.
Yeah, he's there.
So when did he go there? Because we played them in the playoffs one year when I was in high school.
Who's that?
Lake Geneva Badger.
Oh, he's probably been there for six years.
Maybe a little bit longer than that.
I may have just clipped that because they had a nice little team, too.
Yeah, they got a nice squad out there.
They run that wing T, too.
Yeah.
And it's all discipline.
Yeah, everybody's running that wing T right now, man. You got to know where you're going, cuz.
Spread it out and let the athletes play some football.
Well, that's what Marquette. Marquette runs a spread. They didn't win last night.
So you want to play like Franklin.
Yeah.
Just spread it out and throw it all over the place.
I want at least two wide receivers on the field at all times. I want four pass catchers on the field at all times.
You are like the only offensive lineman I've ever talked to in my life that wants the pass block.
Because that's why I like going to the two-point stance when I was – yes. When I was – when I yes, no doubt. Absolutely. This is why I like the two-point stance, right? When I play tackle, I didn't like having my face down. I'm looking down into the ground.
I want to be up here.
I got the kickstand.
He's got the shield.
I'm pointing out. Yeah. I see this blitz coming up here.
He thinks he's real.
Hey, Mike's coming.
Right.
I'm sitting back down.
He's a specialty player.
I can see this walking out here. I'm really just a wide receiver in an O lineman's body.
Right. Everybody knows you're passive once you get into that stance.
Yes.
I mean, it ain't no secret.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you're passive.
Yeah.
Everybody. Uh-huh.
He thinks he's a tailback.
No chance. I'll get into your teeth before you even knew out of that stance.
Yeah, look at him.
Immediately.
Yeah,
he's feeling himself right now, boy.
Yeah, he's feeling himself. Yeah, look at him. He don't want to put his head. He's soft, man.
I did not like having my hand to the ground.
Yeah, he's like a soft.
Unless I got to touch the football when I got to play center.
He got the shield on.
Then I got the ball a little bit. At least touch the pigskin. Forgot how it tastes. I haven't had it in my hands.
You were always jealous that you couldn't run the ball.
1,000%.
Well, I mean, he probably ran in Little League, though.
No.
Wait,
you want to know this? When I walked in? Right away, you know, I'm slinging the ball around, thinking, oh, maybe I can play tight end or something. I walk in. I was a fourth grader playing with the fifth grade team, right? So I walk in, and I'm like, sweet, I'm going to get a chance. I'm going to play some football. And all of a sudden, guy walks up who's going to be the head coach. He goes, oh, nice, we got a guard. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Right away.
Really?
Right away.
Right away, he goes, oh, yeah, no way you're passing the weight limit. And I was like, great. Well,
told you.
All right, there it is.
Well, normally in Little League, you try to take that big kid, you put him at fullback.
Oh, yeah, but they got to lose enough weight so you can put him back
there at fullback.
That never happened.
Going on a diet in fourth grade.
Baby weight never really fell off for me.
Right.
It works out, though. It's fine. It happens. Things happen. Things do happen, and things work out the way that they should. Quintez Cephas, guys, earlier today, tweeting out he's back officially eligible to play and go to school for the Wisconsin Badgers. So the Wisconsin Badgers at least make some good news in the football community in the state today.
Yeah, that's good. I just, for me, that team is way better if he obviously plays.
Yes.
And especially if he's ready by Michigan. I mean, it's just
I think that should be their target date.
Yeah.
For sure. It's just a way different team. And then, look, those wide receivers are good already.
Yes.
So I'm not sitting here trying to knock
the wide
receivers.
Well, he was the best one.
Right. Out of Danny Davis, A.J. Taylor.
He was the best one.
So now you give all these guys and Cephas. I mean, that's going to help Jack Cohen.
Right.
Or Graham Mertz.
Yeah.
It's going to be Jack Cohen to start.
Yeah.
And that's going to help the running back and Taylor, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Either one. I mean, those guys, I mean, help her immensely. But I just still think they don't have enough for Michigan. But it's a home game. We'll see what, you know, we'll see what will happen. I don't like the way you told me how that's going to go down, the 11 o'clock start, but it is what it is.
Oh, you don't like that it's 11 o'clock start?
No.
You wanted that as a night game?
That should be a night game. And I think that's your best Big Ten game out the gate right there, bro.
It's definitely the best one that they're going to have that weekend. Yeah,
it feels like Michigan State and Wisconsin's going to be a later game, maybe like a 2:30 start.
And now that's homecoming on the 12th, if I believe it is.
Yeah, Michigan State. And then they got Northwestern sandwich in between there. That's not going
to
be a game.
Have you ever been down to Ryan Field?
Yeah, love it.
Would you suggest going down there?
Love it.
Because I've always wanted to go.
Love it. That's a good game to go to.
Okay. I think I'm going to go check that one out.
That's a good game to go to.
Because they're just going to be a good team.
Yes.
I mean, like, I understand they might not
but
be Alabama. They
game
might
is,
not
that,
be...
is that Wisconsin, though, isn't it, this year?
Yeah, no, there's another one I got my eye on down there in
Evanston. Oh, well, yeah, if you can go, it's a good spot you can get in and out.
Well,
right,
Ohio
that's
State,
what I'm
saying. Are they going to Northwestern?
414-799-1250. Live at 105.7FMTheFan.com, the Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen inbox. We're live out here at the new Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience.
Like talking to Tim about
105.7FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. Two more hours here. Appreciate you hanging out, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.